Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Philip Kinsella. The book is You, The Public Deceived, A Grand UFO Deception. He's talking about his abduction experiences, which he recalled, rather than had someone bring it out with hypnotic regression. Just one thing to throw in as you continue talking about what had happened to you and your perceptions. You ever think that what you remembered is something, some entity or being fed to you and doesn't represent what really happened?
That is very much a possibility, Gene. I am totally, you know, for any form of explanation. The strangest thing was that I recalled every single detail. Even now, when I'm speaking to you guys, I can still see Noddy very, very clearly. And it was very unsettling. There is a possibility that the phenomena operates on a different level of frequency, and we translate it the way that we try to work it out. But all I can tell you is that this is what happened, and this is how it appeared to me in this present reality that we're living in. So sure, I'm open to all forms of speculation, and always have been. I'm not one of these people that say no, this is what it is, because we just don't know. So well, I appreciate that.
I mean, this is something that you're not alone in, first of all. Other people have had these kinds of experiences, Philip, and it was back in the early 80s, around 1983. You've got a British ufologist there, Jenny Randalls.
Oh, yes.
And of course, she talked about what she termed the Oz factor.
Yes.
And this is very, very much an Oz factor type of experience. That's where some UFO witnesses, they experience a sensation of being isolated or transported from the real to an odd state of consciousness involving changes to their perception of time and space, during which strange phenomena and close encounters can occur. So this is just an absolutely fascinating case of an Oz factor type of experience.
Yes, and my brother and I spoke to Jenny Randall soon afterwards. She contacted us, and we spoke to her. We've never met her. We spoke to her for a length of time. She was interested in the fact that we were twins, but of course we're all special and unique. But one of the factors with the abduction, and I don't want to go too far into it at this moment in time, what may have led some answers to the puzzle that we're seeking, and certainly in terms of an altered state of reality, we have to bring into the fore, because I think for a long time we were all believing that we were dealing with physical craft, and yes, they do appear physical. They're able to compose themselves into our reality quite quickly as they do move out of it. But we have to understand that we may be dealing with something that operates on a completely different level of reality than our own. One of the major factors with regards to most abductions, and I talk only about the Greys because that's the only things that I experienced rather than the reptilians. I mean, can you imagine me going forward and saying, yes, doctor, I was abducted by reptilians and I saw a couple of Greys, and along with the rest of the degrading incident. But it has helped me many years later, because I believe that a part of people's mind opens to other concepts of reality and takes us away from the centralized programming that we all encounter when we come into the world. And, you know, it's interesting, because looking at that reality brought into the four other aspects of us. So when people say to me, what are aliens? What are Greys? I will say to them, first of all, well, what are we? What do we represent? Because, you know, this opens up a whole nother can of worms. And this is a line of research that I was fascinated in and led me down that path with regards to theoretical content. Yeah, definitely.
Well, okay. So this is really interesting here, too, because when you were describing the way, for example, the glass tended to bend and everything that we would take as our material reality around us seems to flex. This really reminded me of some scenes in the movie The Matrix, if you've seen that movie. And, of course, since then, there's been all kinds of talk about, could we even be in such a matrix? Is our reality what we think it is? And one can't help, when they have an experience like what you're talking about, thinking that, well, maybe. And there are scientists and philosophers who are taking this very seriously now. So what do you think? Are we in some kind of simulated universe? Are these aliens something that are in another universe, or maybe created this one for us and they come in and out of it like some kind of avatar, or, you know,
well,
what's your thought on that?
Well, we house one of the most amazing components biologically called the brain. And the brain is to my mind and many other people's minds, a transmitter and a receiver. And, you know, I believe that a process of communication or interaction occurs through our psyche. So this, you know, this opens up another area of research in terms of what we are. And I believe that, you know, our journey as souls, you know, we come into this earth and we go out. But I also believe that, take away all the religious dogma, although I respect people who have them, that we come in and we go out through a birthing cycle, and we carry memories from one life to another, and perhaps the eternity within those memories, because we're coming through the correct channel of reproduction. However, one of the things that makes me laugh is that people say, oh, you know, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. Well, actually, belief shapes reality. And we're beginning to find that, you know, that we're not centralized within the brain. And when we die, that consciousness is completely nullified. We're finding that we are much more than just biological entities with a sell-by date, and that we are much more than just human. But I believe the system knows this and has tried very hard to subjugate our mental processing. So it's possible that these other interdimensionals, as it were, are able to forcibly connect themselves on some occasions with the real us, taking us outside our main frame of reality, as it were, i.e.
okay,
the soul.
Okay, this is... we need to just back up a little bit there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different concepts there, and we've gotten into that quite deep on our Paracast Community Forums thread, where we talk about consciousness, the nature of reality, could there be life after death, what's an NDE, what's possible, what's not, and so on. So, I'm hearing a worldview that you're expressing that's based on the assumption of the way things might be. Now,
yes.
At one point there you said the system knows this. What did you mean by the system knows this? That, because I find that really interesting there. Like, what system are you talking about? This kind of goes back almost to the Valet quote, where he was talking about some kind of a control system. Or, you know, is it anything like that? Or what did you mean?
Yes, well, I mean, we can see throughout our past history that there has always been control and mental subjugation. In the scientific world, the educational departments, the medical centers, it carries on. And I believe that, you know, we as a human race have always been led to believe that this is our lot, that we will do as be told to do, to work, to toil the soil, to pay your taxes, ask no questions, and die. What's interesting is that people are now asking questions, universal questions, those linking with, for instance, the UFO phenomena. What do we find? We find that we're being lied to, or at least deceived in understanding the reality of what's going on. So, you know, we're all of us, you, Gene, everyone who are researchers, know that there is some hidden hand that is covering all of this up.
Okay, let's stop there.
Let's stop there and do our break.
Okay.
Okay, by the way, Philip will also be on after the PowerCast, the premium podcast that's available exclusively to subscribers of the PowerCast Plus, okay? Philip Kinsella joins us with Gene. And with Randall, you're in
the PowerCast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire PowerCast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the PowerCast. After the PowerCast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the PowerCast Plus. With After the PowerCast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the PowerCast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with PowerCast guests. With PowerCast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the PowerCast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about PowerCast Plus.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the PowerCast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous PowerCast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Philip, Gene, and Randall, we're here with more fascinating discussions about Philip's own experiences as a UFO abductee. Randall, you were about to say something in our previous segment.
Right. Yes, Philip. Earlier in the show, you started off talking about how if other people are saying one thing and you're experiencing another thing, then it's as if someone is lying and somebody is not, and therefore you've got to reconcile the two in order to get to the truth. And this is really the essence of what's known as the Socratic method. I don't think that we necessarily need to say that people are lying, although in some cases I'm pretty sure they do. But it may be the case that just they're uninformed or they have a different belief than you do or I do. That still leaves us with this inconsistency. It leaves us with us searching for the answer of, well, both situations can't be correct, and therefore the truth must lie somewhere in between. How do we get to it?
Well, you know, this is a personal journey for myself and for many other people. And I think as an individual, it was my crusade to discover what we call the truth, although we don't know what the truth is. And quite interestingly, another gentleman asked me, what are you looking for? And I said to them, I'm looking for the reality of UFOs and you know, and the other question of our purpose here on this planet. And I also said that, why is it so hard for us to admit? And when you've had an experience that changes you, perhaps on a personal level more than anything, it opens up your mind to other areas of research and to a lot of other wonderful souls who have gone through kind of like similar experiences of yourself. So it is very strange, and I agree with you, you know, in terms that people have had to lie, perhaps to safeguard ourselves from that truth. We just don't know. I think, could you imagine if the truth did come out? It was more horrifying than we ever imagined.
Who knows? But back at the beginning of the show, we were talking about how different politicians just have never come out and said what the case happens to be, despite the fact that they maybe ran on a platform that included that they would disclose what they knew. And something I've noticed is that, okay, I've watched them. Yes, they've said that. And then after they're elected, it's as if somebody goes into their Oval Office or wherever they have their meeting, and they get the private briefing, and they just change. They go from being this person you thought that you knew and to being something else almost, you know, like an animatronic Disney character, I guess, except for maybe Obama. Like he maintained his personality throughout his presidency. And I think he was probably the greatest president that they've had in decades.
Oh, yes.
And, but I mean, still we got nothing.
That's right. We still got a blank page. As I say to Philip Mantle, my mentor, Philip Mantle, we still have a blank page after all these years.
And so, you know, okay. So, and this is something else that was really interesting too, that you had said earlier. You said that they know. So meaning the powers that be. So we know that they know, and they know that we know.
Yeah.
So everybody knows.
Nice way of putting it.
There's two questions there. Well, if everyone knows, why is it so controversial? And two, why do we need the powers that be to tell us what we already know? Well, you know, is it just validation or what is it?
I think, to be honest with you, if we push that boat into very uncomfortable waters, territory, I think that we may find that perhaps we are dealing with something that goes beyond the physical. And I believe also that perhaps those higher authorities who are aware of, not of all of it, but most of it, are perhaps perplexed or confused as to how to address the issue to the public. Now, one of the things that's interesting is that, you know, you either lie to tell a lie or you lie to protect someone. And I believe that in this case, we have to be a little bit fair here, and I've stated that in the book, that it could be that we are being protected by our higher organizations. But to some degree, you know, at least let those who are yearning to know the truth, let them in. I actually wrote to Parliament because I belong to NUFORS, the National UFO Reporting Service here in England, and Nigel Ross, I call him my boss, created it. And I wrote to Parliament, and I won't say to whom, but it was explaining that we wanted to bring everything to the table, warts and all, and bring a group of people who are interested in Parliament, and let's openly discuss this, let's talk about this, you know, to join forces so that we can work together. And you can imagine what I got back. Silence. So, you know, here we go again. So,
right.
You know,
you guys have Nick Pope, but even recently, you know, some articles have come out that, well, you know, he didn't really have that big a part. You know, he essentially was, you know, part of the clearinghouse for when reports came in. But other than that, you know, there really wasn't much that he did as far as we know.
Yes.
I mean, you guys used to have Bufora. And they were really good. Tell us what is it like to be a paranormal or UFO researcher in the UK these days?
Well, it's very challenging. I mean, for one, we have our researchers and authors on this side of the pond. I have a great many of them in the United States of America, of course. But here in England, we have Philip Mantle, Chris Evers, Paul Sinclair, and many other, Malcolm Robinson, many other esteemed names here. But it is very difficult. We find that the population here are not really interested. In fact, I think, you know, if I may say this or dare say this, that a lot of people are not really bothered about it. So here we have a real upward hill struggle with regards to, you know, making this known. For instance, you know, if you do a talk on UFOs and it's been recorded, like we're doing here in England, you know, you'll get attacked because people think that you're a liar or in it. The biggest one that makes me laugh is in for the money. I mean, come on, we're scraping the barrel here. Yeah. As researchers or authors or whoever that you are, I kind of enjoy that. But, you know, people here, unfortunately, are very closed-minded. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of people who are now already starting to question and getting involved with the network systems that we have here in England. But we, unfortunately, there are many different opinions. We have to deal with the love and light and also the very negative experiences. And you have the love and light starting to be attacked by the ones who are on the other side of the fence. So it's a bit of a battleground, and we have to try to find some form of mediocre within that.
That is very much what it's like here as well.
Let's do our break. We've got more to come with Philip and with Gene and with Randall. That means you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. A group of Republican senators will join Missouri Senator Josh Hawley in raising objections to the Electoral College vote when Congress meets to certify the presidential election on January 6th. Texas Senator Ted Cruz announced Saturday that he would lead the effort in the Senate. Representative Chuck Fleischman says he thinks the entire congressional delegation from Tennessee will join him in objecting. He tells Fox News that he will try to get his constituents answers about alleged irregularities in swing states.
Fundamental to our great republic, our constitutional republic, is the sanctity of the vote. And after listening to my constituents from across the 3rd District of Tennessee and actually looking at what happened in these swing states, I've got grave concerns about the process that went on, and I'm going to boast those concerns with an objection standing with President Trump on this week.
This is USA Radio News. Funeral services for Congressman-elect Luke Letlow were held Saturday in Louisiana, a day before he was set to be sworn in to the House of Representatives. Letlow died Tuesday of complications of COVID-19. He was eulogized by the man whose seat he would have taken. Letlow served as chief of staff for Representative Ralph Abraham, who told mourners that Letlow's example of service is something to be emulated.
And I see many young people out here hopefully aspiring to be the people's servants. And it matters that you care, and it matters that you act, and it matters that you do things with your life that have purpose and that have meaning, and you do it with character and you do it with honor. That's what Luke did, and that's what we need to do to try to emulate him.
Letlow is survived by his wife, Julia, and their two young children. He was 41. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we progress, talking here about attitudes towards UFOs. Here in the States, in the colonies, whatever you want to call them, I think for the most part, even people who say positive things in the polls, UFOs are just entertainment. Oh, we'll watch the UFO show, we'll watch the ghost show. But unless they've had an experience, particularly a significant experience, it's just something to watch. They've got other things on their mind.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Yes, I agree. And it has, unfortunately, within the media departments, become a circus. I do believe, however, that a lot of good researchers and investigators, you know, such as yourselves and many others, are now doing their own programs to try to bring more information to the fore. And I think, but the mainstream media, unfortunately, are still dancing to the tune of their masters, because we know that a lot of the larger network systems are controlled by higher echelons who will tell them what should be shown and what shouldn't. And of course, as we know, like with any media machine, it's used to convince the masses of what is being promoted on the screen or information as the truth. A very simple example, AOL, for instance. You can see most of the stuff that goes on there is, you know, most people believe it. And at least we can step back and say, well, that's not quite right. So this centralized theme of control within the media still occurs. But I think we're getting to a stage now where it feels to me as though more people now are questioning, more people are coming forward and saying, hang on a minute, there's something wrong. And I think this is why we've got a huge surge in the interest in not just the UFO subject, but the other controversial areas of research as well.
Interesting. By the way, I'm not sure if you're aware of it over there, but we had a movie come out earlier in the year, The Phenomenon, by James Fox.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not sure if you've seen it yet, but it's really getting excellent reviews from the ufology community. Have you seen it yet yourself yet?
No, I haven't. I have yet to see it. I've got a barrage of stuff that I have yet to catch up with and to watch, time permitted, because I'm working on another project at the moment, but I shall watch that. I've heard a lot of great reviews from it, and a lot of good ufologists and researchers have spoken about it, you know, so it looks fascinating, yeah.
In your book, I'd like to ask a couple of questions, just looking here at your table of contents, and of course your books, you've got a number of them, and we'll get into some of those as well during the course of the show, and as we continue into After the Paracast, but I'm looking at Chapter 9, Paul Sinclair and the Bempton Paradox. What is the Bempton Paradox?
Paul Sinclair is an author of truth proof books, wonderful books. He's a brilliant researcher, and Bempton is an area which is very much filtered with paranormal activity. And he and a team of people go out there and they investigate, and they've been picking up these orbs, lights, UFO activity, and also other strange phenomena, creatures as well, that have been caught and seen on camera. And so he's been investigating that area for quite some time now. And that is what that chapter is about. It's about Paul and his research and his books and also of his findings. And we also find that the orbs, the lights that are seen, are quite common. And that is something that interests us greatly. I mean, you have the great Dr. Irina Scott over there. She's a good friend. She's a lovely lady who also is interested in the light, colors of light, because light carries information. And we also find that this phenomena that operates on this principle of lights is able to overpower the individual in its presence more times than not, and morph itself obviously into our reality through this said light. That is what that chapter is all about with regards to Bempton and Paul Sinclair's research with Andy Ramsden and Bob Brown and Chris Turner, who is also a documentary maker. Don't mention the reptilians. He's working on a new documentary. Yes, I know. But he's working, and he's a documentarist here, brilliant man. And he's been filming, working with Paul Sinclair for quite some time now to try and find this truth, as it were. But it is elusive. We all know that it's very elusive. It's almost like chasing shadows, which is very interesting.
Indeed. Actually, that reminds me of, I'm just rewatching the Babylon 5 saga.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, they have these shadows in that, which are some kind of aliens that are able to make themselves invisible. They have some sort of active camouflage. And this is something I'd just like to throw in there. I mean, you're speaking sort of from a side where, well, maybe, you know, it's a different kind of reality. And I know Jacques Vallée was thinking along these lines as well, because of the various ways that UFOs manifest themselves, disappear slowly, morph, change shapes, seem to come in and out of our reality. Yeah, I started thinking, well, what if it's just active camouflage? Why do we need to invoke like this sort of spiritual, supernatural thing, when if they're able to change what they look like to us, and we're developing things like this ourselves now through the use of types of screens and projected images and stuff, and if they've got some sort of invisibility cloak, or if they do, they've probably got not only just the ability to make themselves invisible, but to make themselves look like whatever they want. And so yeah, they could pull off all of this stuff purely technologically, and then we don't really need to sort of invoke all of this other sort of mystical kind of explanation.
Yes, that is interesting. And I was just going to say there also that with regards to the Greys themselves, they appear like specters. And certainly they have, or the phenomena has evolved from times of old. I was very privileged to have met personally Dr. Jack Vallée in Arizona when I went to a conference some years ago there. I was very honored. But one of the things that we are discovering is that the aliens, as we call them, have upped their program. And I think the abduction phenomena, whereas in the past it was on a very personal level where, you know, in more cases than not, in the genuine cases where they would land and the occupants would come out, I think because the world has become so overpopulated and we all have access to cameras or some kind of equipment, that these so-called Greys have upped their program and instigated their abduction, you know, the way that they abduct someone, on a completely different level of reality, which is like basically taking you at night, taking you through the wars and doors, and then taking you back with scrambled memories. And I think there's a process of why that happens. But certainly I agree with you. You know, UFOs are now caught on infrared. So it seems that the phenomena always is one step ahead. As we progress, so do they. And it's almost as if they have an awareness of that on some deeper level of whatever consciousness they operate on. Definitely, I agree with you there. Most definitely. That's a very good point.
That's a very good observation as well, and it's one that a number of ufologists share, because it seems as when they've manifested themselves to us over the centuries, they haven't always manifested themselves to us as your modern-day mothership or triangle. I mean, yes, saucers and spheres have been described. They've been described as flying shields, for example. So, you know, maybe in those days, okay, so a round shield is like a disc. It's like a saucer. Mm. It's very similar. But in other cases, they've looked like sort of strange, almost antique contraptions. And yes. So it's as if they're saying, well, you know, we've got to come out of our cloaking field here somehow, or, you know, what are we going to appear as to these people? So they kind of pick the closest thing that they've got to what we might have at the time that fits with what we know, so that we don't think it's too weird.
Before we get too weird, folks, we have Philip Kinsella, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Attention real estate investors, do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, before we get too weird, I almost wonder here, since we're doing it, whether we can talk about the possibility here that what we see is something that we are self-generating a little bit. We have the phenomenon, but we have to do something to interpret it. It's not necessarily they who are influencing us to interpret it a certain way. We are taking what's there and saying it's got to be this.
Well, yes, I agree. But, you know, the way that I've looked at this in my own personal investigations, as it were, was if we look at it, the abduction phenomena seems to mirror the near-death experience. When someone has what they call an NDE way, i.e. they clinically die and go down a tunnel or whatever and communicate with their loved ones or, masters, the world to them is as real. They translate it as very real and more real than the world they left behind. And certainly when they return from their NDE, they are changed. They're transformed in more times than not. Now, with an abduction, the process of, going through walls and doors, seeing these beings that communicate telepathically, the experience is as real to the abductee as the world they left behind again. And I believe what's happening possibly is that the real essence of what we represent is being brought into their filled frequency of awareness so that they can attach or link themselves to you and interact with you on a physical level, much the same as a person who dies and, is in a real world. So I think the way that we translate that, it is quite difficult to determine because we can only speak from what we experience. But I do agree that it happens, or the phenomena seems to integrate on a very personal level. There are patterns that indicate what an abduction is. There are patterns that indicate what a near-death experience is. But the overall experience is unique to the experiencer. So I think the way that we translate this information is very important. I've heard these stories about that we could be the aliens, that they are us, so I don't discount that. But at the same token, what's interesting is that a lot of people are reporting certain parts to the experience that match other people's, yet I've always said that it is and acts on and integrates on a personal level with you and them, and they seem to go out.
How we tend to frame that here is, in a sentence, is we say that the phenomenon tends to mirror the worldview of the experiencer.
Yes, that's correct. Absolutely. Yes, I agree with you there. But, you know, it's something that is fascinating, and trying to get to the meat of it is interesting.
Well, how do we do that? What I'm hearing, and I know that there's going to be listeners that are going to be going, Randall, come on. You know, let's get right down into this and dig into it. What I'm hearing are two different versions of reality, and they're not the same. There is an objective reality where things exist out there in the universe that aren't us, and then there's our subjective reality, which is our perceptions of the world that is out there, and
yes,
whatever else it happens to be. So I think that people who get the two confused sometimes think that they're both the same. So, for example, in alien abductions and the comparison with NDEs, yes, there's some perceptual things that are the same, but there's one really important difference. And that is when someone's abducted, when you go to their room, they're not there anymore. But when somebody has an NDE on the operating table, it's their body's still there. You know, they don't disappear.
Yes. Yes.
So we've got two sort of similarly subjective experiences going on, but with one really important difference.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But, you know, one of the things that we have to look at with the abduction phenomenon and going into a little bit of the meat of that is what the greys are and why they're doing what they're doing. And this is something that I wanted to explore on a personal level.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Because everybody's asking that question. Why? What are they doing this for? So let's explore some of the reasons that you think that they've come here and are interacting with us in this very theatrical manner.
Yes, that's right. And one of the main things that we have to look at, one of the questions that we have to ask is, first of all, what are the greys and why are they interested in us? And why are they primarily interested in reproduction? I'm sure that you are very much aware of the so-called hybridization program. Dr. David Jacobs and other eminent researchers have been exploring this. And the puzzling question is, why would a species that cannot reproduce suddenly be interested in reproduction through this form of hybridization program, creating a new genus?
We've interviewed Dr. Jacob several times on the show. He's very polarizing, at least in this country, what he has to say. And this was when we were with our previous co-host, Christopher O'Brien. And Chris and I were both very concerned about the careless manner in which Dr. Jacobs administered his hypnotic regressions to determine whether somebody had been abducted. So, for example, one of the key considerations a therapist will say is don't ask leading questions because you may manipulate the mind of the recipient, the abductee, into seeing things or imagining things that aren't there. And Dr. Jacobs said, and this is a very telltale comment, there are no leading questions. So regardless of the nature of whether a hybrid race is being created, I have lots of problems with David Jacobs.
Yes, and I respect that. But at the same token, we may be looking at this completely wrong way. I mean, this called into question the survival of the soul or the human soul and the journey of the human soul. The greys seem to appear as a blank canvas. They don't appear to understand about love, of empathy, of taste, of smell, of time. They seem so far removed from what we represent. Now, there is the conjecture that if I cloned you, Gene or Randall, if I cloned you in a laboratory and I created, let's say, 10 copies of you.
Well, if you create 10 copies of me, the entire program will blow up. It will explode. It will melt down into sawdust.
It would melt somebody's brain.
Oh, it's going to melt mine in a moment. But anyway. Oh,
but carry on with your analogy or what you're explaining here, because I like where you're going with it, and I think we need to delve into this a little further.
Yeah. I mean, it's only a theory, and of course, most theories are rejected or attacked, but we have to look outside the box. As I said before, the greys appear to be a blank canvas. They have no personality, and they're interested in a species that has all of these attributes that they somehow want or they need. So it's possible that if I cloned you in a laboratory, literally cloned you, when you die, theoretically speaking, your soul will return back to source with its inherent memories of perhaps past, present, and future. But your clones will only have the memory of one single life, one single imprint. It won't be able to go forward or backwards at all. And we can theorize that perhaps on a, you know, on a larger level of speculation, that when the clones die, that they cannot return back to source to where you've gone. Now, let's speculate that the greys have cloned themselves to the point where they don't understand their own identity. They can't go back to a heaven or whatever people want to call it, the continuation of creation or the process of that. So they're interested in hybridization or creating a new being. My idea is that they bring the actual soul of the person into their filled frequency of awareness so that they are matched by the density and can connect with that individual. Remember, the greys seem to be very powerful. They can override the mind. They're very good at mind reading, but they're very weak in nature. And also the fact that maybe when the experiencer or abductee is brought back, the reason that they can't remember the experience is because they have been taken out of their normal time frame or processing of time. The same with an NDE-er who has no awareness of time. The same with abduction. So it's possible to speculate that the greys that have cloned themselves with that spark of single awareness are interested in some form of incubation to use another form or a genus or a hybrid in order to interlink with and develop, because most of the mothers that we reported are taking back to the vessel to bond or show love to the hybrid.
We've got more to come with Philip, Gene, and Randall here in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
92.
$1,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.